Thank you, Lord. Whew. Yeah, you can go ahead and have a seat. Such good worship. Such good time. Thank you, Lord. Teenagers, did you guys have fun last night? Yeah, so those of you who missed, if you're a teenager and you weren't here last night, I hope you'll make it to heaven. No, I'm just kidding. you missed an amazing night. So Mark and Ann are my spiritual mama and papa, and So blessed to have you guys here. So Mark called me up 3 weeks ago, roughly. Yeah, the Lord had put on his heart to come with everything happening. God has shifted his life, really, their life. And they've made a move. They were living in Southern California in Los Angeles area for the last 12 years, and they just moved back to Portland, Hillsboro, and Oregon. And the Lord told them to really connect with 30 churches. Mark, for years, has been connected with thousands of churches and traveled all over the world, and is it okay if I tell your story a little bit? I didn't ask you this, but I'm not here to preach Mark or anything like that. I just want you to know what is happening here. You know, the Lord challenged him that it's quite difficult to have spiritual sons and spiritual daughters when you're so spread and you see people once every couple of years or, you know, whatever. How can you actually cultivate disciples and really father people, so the Lord challenged him to step away from the role he was playing apostolically in the HIM network, which we're also a part of, and to take a step of faith, which meant leaving a salaried position and stepping into a position of faith, not knowing exactly what that was going to look like. And so 2 years ago, maybe three, that you've been here? No, that when you and I connected and the Lord told me to be one of those, just the last couple of years. And the Lord has lined up for them ones who have said, we want to be aligned with you in this way and allow you the grace and the opportunity to speak into our lives and submit spiritually to you as a father and as a mother. And to some that might sound a little strange, a little weird, but when you are in ministry, it is so important to have people that you align with, that you submit yourself to as a covering. Especially when, you know, I'm a senior pastor and it's really easy to just be a lone ranger out there. Like, I don't need anybody talking to me. I don't need nobody giving me direction or asking me what I'm doing or anything like that. And so the Lord challenged Sage and I to submit ourselves to someone who could pour into us and challenge us. And, you know, during this time when everything shut down, Mark and Ann began to meet with us over Zoom calls and tell us, you know, and not just us, it was several churches we were meeting, talking, what's working for you? What are you guys doing? And it helped us walk through these things with with grace, with great boldness, really, to be able to go, hey, these guys are doing this. This is working for them. And anyway, sorry, didn't mean to take up so much of your time. But I want to ask you just to come and pour into us. And last thing, I'm so sorry. I just want to say there is a table out in the foyer with Mark and Ann's books on them. And if you would like to buy, I want to say this. If you gave all your money in the offering and you don't have money to buy a book, you can tell whoever's out there at the table, Zach said I could have a book. I will buy it for you if you can't afford it or you gave away all your money for some reason and you really want a book. I'm not kidding. I will buy your book if that's what you want. So, okay? So just tell them, Zach said I could have it. And yeah, they're like, who's Zach? So, all right. Amen.
Thank you. Love you. Thank you so much. All right. How you doing? How you doing? You know, I'm doing fine. All right. I have at least 25 accents, and I'll spare you of them all. You know, most of them I do them alone. You know, it's kind of weird. I caught myself talking with a Russian accent in the bathroom yesterday. I have no clue why. I was in a restaurant. But anyway, you know, we come with different themes, and I have a book now, The Joy. It's in 12 languages. Most recently, as you said, Russian. We also have been really pouring into Bulgaria. It was our last trip right before we went. You know what you guys shared tonight? This little amazing glory party you just had? Do you know that we go to nations and they don't know the language of the love of the Father like this? And when you talk about it and share it, and they just weep. They just don't know what to do with the Father's anointing, the Father's love. And so what you have is we need it around the world, and hopefully maybe some of you can go with me to Russia or Bulgaria or Kenya, and all I need you to do is love people. How many of you could go out and love people? All right, there, you're qualified. I'll take you somewhere around the world. But this book is How to Know Your Destiny, and then this book is How to Know how the church knows its destiny. What is the name of this place? What do you call this? No, that's not entirely what you call it. Okay. It's on your website. That makes it official. What do you mean? What do you think? Has anybody ever asked you, said, what's an apostolic center? Has anybody ever asked that? How many would like to know exactly what that means? There's the book right there. You know what the apostolic means to me? It means transformation. It has a bridge on it. Yeah, my son-in-law drew it. It means relationships. Okay? It means fathering. It means everything that we're talking about. But the most excited I'm about is we've not had this with us. This is Anne's devotional called Freedom from Grace. She memorized the book of Galatians in the Passion Translation. Freedom by Grace. Freedom from Grace, yeah. That was her first book. No, I'm kidding. And how long did it take you, and how long did you meditate on the book of Galatians? A couple years. And if anybody's ever struggled with condemnation, this is a 30-day journaling, a devotional, and it's a breakthrough. Anyways, I'm not going to take Ann's time. We want to do some things. Ann is my mentor and my teacher in how to have a more intimate relationship with Jesus. I respect her. Her relationship with the Lord is absolutely just, I'm amazed by the relationship with the Lord. Her yearning for his presence, and so she's just going to share out of that tonight. So give it a big hand. She was just commissioned as a prophet in August in Pasadena, but she still goes just by Ann. Okay, that's all good too. Here you go. I love you, honey.
Thank you. We love you too. You know, I haven't been here in a little while. Mark has come by himself, and I just see so much growth. I'm just so excited about who you are. I thank you, Annie, wherever you are, just and team, so powerful. And, you know, during worship, I just was seeing, I felt like the Lord was wanting you to know that you've captured his heart and that he really hears the cry of your heart. And he always works through a remnant. It's not majority rules with him. And I also feel like, though, that there's others in your city you don't know of. You know how Elijah was discouraged that there weren't more people that were devoted to the Lord. I feel like there's more people, pockets of people that haven't bowed their knee to Baal that he's going to link you up with and partner with so that you can bring that transformation to your city and a region that you're believing for. And I really see a powerful just move of God through you guys. Even as I say it, can you feel it? Can you feel it? And, you know, we started out with, open up the doors. I don't know how many of you remember singing that 25 years ago. And we thought we were on the brink of revival then. I thought, man, any time, you know, the millions are going to come to the Lord. And, you know, and we've been praying, contending ever since. But you know, we go through different emotions and delayed hope. But God is so good. And now, 25 years later, I just have the same amount of hope, the same amount of expectancy. And it's so exciting because we're going to see it. And we get a new generation to enjoy it with. So that's so fun. Amen. Okay, so we're going to team teach today, so I don't want to take real long, but I'm German, Dutch and German, and so I like points and outlines. And when I teach, I have this list of things I'm going to say. So that's how I like to teach and learn, and then Mark is going to follow up with, he's got stories. He's more the creative, you know, it's going to tell a story with everything that he teaches. So that'll be something you can look forward to next. Anyway, we were asked to teach on abiding with the Lord, which is one of my favorite things to think about. Because I've been praying, Lord, how, you know, it's not easy for someone like me who's really struggled with a lot of condemnation and religion and duty to abide with the Lord all day long and have an ongoing conversation. For me, it was more like, okay, have my quiet time, I do my things, and then I step out and I live my life. And I grew up in that place, and I'm so glad I was taught to have a quiet time and everything, but it was very hard transition to learn how to flow with God all day long and learn to hear his voice and to learn to listen for his love and his kisses all through the day. Maybe some of you are like me, you know, especially if you've grown up in a conservative church, you know, it's hard to break some of those patterns of duty and performance, and I have to be good for God and get a report card at the end of the day. You know, it's kind of how it felt. Yeah. So switching from that mindset to a place of abiding all day long, knowing he loves me, has been a real process for me. It's been about a 25-year process of changing my mind and having good, you know, concrete habits to help me make transitions. So I'm just going to share with you some of the things that worked for me, and maybe some of those things you can grab onto, and they'll help you get to a whole new level. I think we can always learn from each other's walk, you know, testimony. So one of the first things that I did was, you know, when the Toronto Blessing hit 25 years ago, worship was a whole new thing. Before that, it was, you know, we did three praise songs and three hymns, and all the praise songs were 2.5 times, right? And they were out the door in, you know, 70 minutes. So when the glory fell with the Toronto Blessing, I felt like the skies were open, and I felt glory like I had never felt before, like we felt tonight, which was wonderful. And so I was so smitten by God by that. It's like I felt like Jesus, I saw Jesus dancing with me. I could feel in my heart this fire and this passion. And so I felt for a time the Lord was leading me to go to the sanctuary every day and worship. I'm a keyboardist and I love to worship. And so I'd spend a couple hours every day worshiping. And so that was my training ground, trying to overcome the distance And every day, like I'd go to the throne room, I'd see the throne room, and every day I would practice overcoming all the lies of condemnation and unworthiness, and I would practice getting closer, and then at first it would take a whole hour to feel the anointing and to feel the intimacy with the Lord, but every day I practiced it for 2 hours. I just made myself, you know, I'm going to not leave until I learned something new about you, God, until I really feel like I had an encounter. I just made myself. And I would say, I'm going to the church from 10 to 12, and then invite everybody. Hardly anyone ever came. But just the fact that I thought maybe somebody would kept me accountable. So that's another thing you can do. Give yourself accountability by saying, okay, I'm going to do this if you join me. And that really helps you get disciplined. But then to go and to get practice getting closer. And then after, you know, a while, a year or two, I just felt like all I have to do is just close my eyes, just a shift in my thought. I don't have to be at the sanctuary and the piano. I don't have to work through all these lies of condemnation or performance. I could see Father on the throne even right now. It's rocking me as I think about it. So part of it is just practice. And I think, you know, sometimes Spirit-filled churches, they don't emphasize discipline enough.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't always feel like going to the church and worshiping.
Right.
You know, sometimes I'd have to clean up my paintbrush and get interrupted and go to the church and then come back and finish my job. If you want to achieve something, make the goals. Set a structure that's going to help you fulfill that. And then ask people to hold you accountable or to partner with you through it. Decide what you want to be like. What's your goal? What do you want? And then set up ways that help you stay in that lane. Because there's going to be days you don't feel like doing it. There's going to be a lot of days you don't. But then you got to think long term. What do I want my life to be in 40 years? By the end of my life, what's really going to be worth it? And then work back. Okay, what patterns in my life do I need to do to get there? And then surround yourself with people that are going to partner with you and hold you accountable. That's a big part of it right there. Number two, when I moved to California, we didn't have a church anymore. All of a sudden, I didn't have access to a sanctuary. I was in a different city every week. I didn't have my keyboard with me anytime. I was lost. Honestly, I was lost because I'm really kinetic. I really learn and connect through my fingers. I like to write. I like to journal. I type. I play the piano. And then, so not to have that and try to connect with God was a whole new thing then. But God wants us to be flexible. He doesn't want me to be dependent on a keyboard the rest of my life. He wants to teach me how to abide with Him in new ways. And I think about worship, it's like, yeah, it's great to be in the glory, but it's not the whole picture. We need the Word, too. And I was weak in the Word. I maybe read a couple of verses a day, but I wasn't studying. I was just enjoying, you know, the visions and His presence. But He wanted me to be more well-rounded, and He wanted the Word in me so I could overcome the lies that I was experiencing. So every day, I got an idea from Graham Cook to make a crafted prayer for my life. What do I want in my life? What do I want for my kids? What do I want for our ministry? What is God saying that is going to be my destiny? Putting prophetic words in a list and making, I had like 15 points, and then after each one, a verse after each, so that I would memorize the verses with the points that I'm believing for. And I would, every day I'd walk. I told you I'm German. So I'm like, I have an idea, I'm going to do this, you know, with the points. So every day I'd walk, half hour, 45 minutes, and I would repeat. And I'd put the verses to song. And then all through the day, I'd find myself singing these verses, believing for the promises. It would be recounted in my mind all through the day. And I found that my mind, it didn't struggle as much with the negativity, with the condemnation, with the comparing myself to others, because I was getting nurtured and saturated in His Word. But it, again, it's discipline. It's a both, right? It's the deciding what we really want and going for it and then making yourself do it. So the next thing I learned was at night, you know, when we're traveling, a lot of times it's hard to go to sleep because we're in different time zones all the time, right? Or I'll wake up in the night. And I don't want to get up and turn on the light and wake up Mark, so I had to figure out ways, how do I really connect with you, God, while I'm laying here, maybe 2-3 hours, you know, bored, I can't do anything. And so I tried to ask the Lord, give me some good ideas how to connect with you deeper while I'm sleeping or while I'm laying there in bed. So here's some ideas if you have trouble sleeping. Okay, so one of them I did, and I always would fall asleep, almost always, before I'd get to Z. I'd go A to Z, all the different characteristics of who God is. I did that for several years, and so then worship is like so rich. You ever get bored in worship? It's like how many songs are they going to do? You know, you guys aren't like that here, but I was in a church that there was a lot of people like that. And so, worship is so rich when you focus on who God is, right? So a lot of songs are about who we are in God. Or what we want you to do, God. But I don't think that's anywhere near as rich and fulfilling as just focusing on who God is. So A, he's adorable. He's awesome. He's affirming. He's available. He's accessible. You know, all the way to Z, he's zealous. V, he's victorious. He's wise. He's wonderful. You know, and just going through the list. And it just makes you feel like so confident in who he is. I can give my whole self to you, God. It just builds a heart of trust, focusing on his face and his nature. Another one, and I'm going to be a little bit selfish with this, but my daughter has done a planner. You've seen Sages maybe, and this is pages from it, but actually that's helping me a lot. I love the planner because it's got promptings and things I love about the Lord, things people I want to appreciate. And it's got, you know, the space. I'm going to fill the space. And then I put a page in and I say, okay, I'm going to speak in tongues for a whole page. And I write down the things that come to mind as I speak in tongues. So it helps to have like a Christian planner to fill out. Another idea is memorizing scripture. So, you know, as I said, I had a hard time overcoming condemnation. So one of the best books in the Bible overcoming condemnation is Galatians. So the Lord said, why don't you memorize Galatians? And so it did take me a couple of years. I'm kind of slow, but I did it in the Passion Translation, which is super long, but it's so rich. You know, Brian Simmons' Passion Translation? I really recommend it. And then I went to Song of Songs. I memorized, because I was enjoying the richness of the Word growing in me, that I went to Song of Songs, because Song of Songs is all about intimacy with the Lord and how much He loves us in all the ways. And what I noticed when I was memorizing the Song of Songs is how much He talks about spices, and that were His garden, and then that we're going to dance on the mountain of spices, and He enjoys the fruit and these things that He's developed in us. And so lately, that's been my thing that I've been doing instead of the alphabet. I've been going through the spices, because the spices are what God has within Him, and I'll explain what they are, in His heart, in His nature, and then He puts it inside us, and those things grow in us. And that's what He loves to enjoy in us. And it's a matter of maturing and growing into these things. You know, just like a garden. You plant the seeds and then He's got to till the soil. He's got to put fertilizer. He pulls the weeds. It's a lot to tending your garden. You got to let Him tend your garden. But as you grow and as you're faithful and you're trustworthy to God and you have a pure heart, He's got these things in there that He savors. Like, you know, Sage is an awesome cook. I like her salmon. I savor the dill. You know, I love salmon. That's how he feels about your heart that you've submitted to him, the heart that you worship him and that he's, you just adore. He savors it. So when I lay in bed now, instead of the alphabet, I'm thinking of the 9 spices, and one of them is a fruit that he enjoys the most. It's right smack dab in the middle of Song of Songs. And Brian Simmons explains all of them, but they are pomegranates of passion. And pomegranates are like the blushing cheeks. The Song of Songs talks about the blushing cheeks of pomegranates is your passion that he's put in you. When you're passionate for God and it comes from his heart of passion, oh, right? He's just, oh, it's delicious. This is a passionate church. We go to a lot of churches. He tastes you. Oh, man, you guys. So good. He's loving it. He's loving you guys so much. And the second one is Hannah from Heaven. Now, Hannah is what they talked about. They used to make as a boundary around thing, a hedge of protection around their winery. So it's something that protects. But it also is the homonym for Hannah is redemption. So when he looks at you, he sees this person that he's loved and he's redeemed. So he enjoys that. The fact that you received redemption from him brings him so much pleasure. He sent his son the highest sacrifice, the highest price he could pay to see you redeemed. And so for you to say, yes, Lord, I want that, he's so in love with you over that. The third one is spikenard, so sweet. And nard is another, it means light. And so he's put his light in you. It's also a perfume. You know, like Mary sacrificed that nard over Jesus before he was going to be buried. It's a very costly perfume. So when you have the smell of aroma of nard and the light of Jesus inside you, you're brilliant. You're way more brilliant than you know. And we went to India. Mark likes to tell this story. I'm just going to say it real short, but you know, there's huge demonic entities there. The god of death is who they worship. So it's very dark where we were in Varanasi. And the Lord said to him, do you mind if I tell your story? Oh, you already told him. Okay, so he said, you don't know how bright you are. All the demons are focused on you. Feel the heaviness from all the demons crowding you and like, who is this person in our territory? Because you are so radiant with my glory. And that's each one of you that has Jesus in you. So radiant from heaven's perspective. We don't always see it or always feel it, but you're extremely full of light. Saffron is the next one. Saffron is very expensive. It's a great spice to put on rice. It makes it taste so good. And did you know saffron is worth its weight in gold? Very expensive spice. And so it's also a lover's perfume. During the Bible times and during the Song of Songs times, it was a perfume. And only kings had that kind of perfume. So he smells you and it delights his soul. Calamus of the cross is a reed that they crushed. And so don't despise the trials that you go through. It's an important part of the process. And the fact if you are able to worship God in the midst of the hard times and the tribulations, you're like that reed that's crushed. And it gives them so much pleasure that you don't give up on your faith, that you keep worshiping him, that you trust him even though it's very, very hard. He knows how hard it is. And he just is so in love with the part of you that doesn't give up. Really moves his heart. The sixth one, cinnamon. Cinnamon was an anointing oil. It's a fiery, hot flavor. It talks about the passion that you have, the fire of God that you have. It also means holiness. So that fire refines you and it makes you holy. And it's his blood that makes you holy. He purchased your holiness for you. You are the righteousness of God. You've already made it to be perfect in his sight. And that gives him great pleasure. Enjoy that with him. Thank you, Lord, for making me holy. I'm going to marvel and enjoy that. Okay, and 7, branches of scented woods. There's lots of branches of scented woods that they use to burn for incense, and one of them is frankincense. But there's in Revelation, there also talks about the incense of the prayers of the saints. You know, and there's lots of prayers that you guys have prayed in this home that he smells. And he hasn't forgotten any of them. And he's going to answer them. Does it matter if it takes a year or 20? Does it really matter in the light of eternity? No, but you just keep praying, and it pleases his nostrils. He inhales the smoke of your incense. It's a beautiful thing to him. 8 is myrrh. And myrrh represents suffering love. So a myrrh is like a teardrop coming out of a tree, and it's an oil. And that was used also to consecrate people when they died. But the same thing with the sacrificing love. And I'm getting all tongue-tied. God makes sure that we all have that place in our life where we have to have the long-suffering love, because it's part of developing our character. Right. It's part of having a nature like he has. We share in his divine nature, right? Well, he has a sacrificial love for us. He's very patient. He's very giving of himself. He's willing to lay down his life for us, and he teaches that. He works that in our life. And the longer you live, the more you realize, okay, well, I might as well not fight it. I'm going to go with it because it pleases the Lord when I'm long-term patient with difficult situations, right? And just it helps just to know it pleases him so much that we don't give up, that we love him. And the last one, aloe. Aloe is a healing agent. He makes us healers. He heals our heart, and he makes us healers. He loves that in us. And aloe also means, it's another name is eagle wood, and it represents that eagle soaring above everything. And that last song we sang today, the roar of the lion, and we're the victor, and God is so powerful, and we stand in high places with him. That's the aloe he puts in us that he enjoys. So I hope that you got something from what I said, and I thank you for sharing, letting me share my story with you. Love you guys. I pray for you a lot, and I'm really proud of who you are and what you're doing. I wish I could move to Alaska. I told Mark today, but I guess not yet.
I don't know how you can say that, Ann, after we just moved. I'm so tired, you know, the thought of another move. You know, one of the dangerous things about Christianity and church, or really probably anything that we do, is we can get familiar language. And we can say it, like, you know, so almost casually. For example, God loves you. Or, I know God loves me, right? Theologically, I know this. But even though I was a pastor for a number of years, I'd been a pastor 10 years, I wouldn't say that I really knew how to receive God's love at a profound level. Like, I knew God loved me, but I can't say that I always could always feel that love or understood how to. And the thing that changed it the most is when I started hearing the Lord for myself, and he would tell me how much he loved me. And that's why last night I spoke about hearing God's voice. Our goal isn't to hear a voice. I don't, you know, like call someone on the phone and go, oh, a voice, this is, you know, like how exciting, you know. It's not the voice of God that I want to hear. I want to know him, okay, and and when he says the greatest commandment, Jesus said it's to love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. I find that I have barriers in my heart and my mind. My soul has to do with my will, and strength has to do with my passion. So when I started hearing the Lord's voice, I would put down my pen and my journal, I'd stop reading the Bible. I mean, I'd read it. I loved it. But there'd come a time where I just said, Lord, I'm just going to be with you. And I want to learn how to receive your love. And I want to just ask you what that looks like and what does it mean and how do I fall more in love with you and how do I know your love for me? And what happened was so life transforming that I can only share with you in this moment when we're talking about biting is that I would make a challenge to you that perhaps apart from your salvation, when you made your commitment to receive Jesus, I would say, as much as there'd be a lot of things that I would want you to do, I probably would say is that first and foremost, you have to become an expert at receiving God's love. Like turbo, really good at it. And there's no way I can measure this, you know. Like, okay, here, let me put that in your mouth. Whoa, you're receiving 86% of his love. That's amazing. I can't believe your ability. But if I were to ask you, you know, how, you know, would you say I'm an expert at receiving God's love? Like, I can drink it in so much that I get so overwhelmed. I tell him, no more love, because I can't handle. Has anybody ever experienced that? You know, when Paul said, boast in the Lord, I'm not trying to be boastful, but I've literally had times where I told the Lord, no more love, because my body and my whole being can't handle any more love. I think I'll just pop, you know? Does anybody want this? And I'm gonna tell you, I don't know what your routines are. I'm not into formalities for formalities. I'm not into tradition for tradition. But all of us have habits and things we do, right? How many put on clothes this morning? Okay, very good. So, that's a habit. It's daily. It's good. I put on my Ram slippers this morning. Los Angeles Rams, sorry. And, you know, it's okay. But that was a totally random thought, and no one even laughed. I thought that was kind of funny that I put on my Rams slippers. I'm sorry. But I can say that one of my regular rituals, so to speak, is I position myself and I say, Lord, today I love you and I choose to receive your love. I make a choice to be conscious. And because I can be really cerebral at times, I've learned from my wife about, and by the way, she's very intelligent, I'm saying that, but she knows the language of the heart, and she's taught and challenged me to develop spiritually where I didn't develop naturally. And one of the ways is to ask the Lord to have encounters through heavenly visions. And by the way, her visions, she has visions and they're like movies, okay? Mine are like stick men kind of moving in green muck. But I hear things and then I kind of see it. And so one time I was just sitting there saying, Lord, I want to receive your love. I ask you to come to me. I don't know how to say it. But Jesus came to me and he said, I want to wash your feet. And what's the response of any good Peter here? Okay? Any good Peter was like, no, I want to wash your feet. You know, that's the spiritual response too, right? No, 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 no. In fact, I think in one translation, Peter's like going, you're my master and you're going to wash my feet. But the point was is that Peter didn't get it. Because the text starts, with, it says Jesus wanted to show them, this is in John 13, he wanted to show them the extent of his love, how much he loved them. And he took a symbol from a culture that was very common. Almost any building you went into, because you had sandals and dirty feet, it was customary in a culture with over, you know, many people that were either slaves or were hired servants, they would wash the feet of any guest. That was normal protocol. But for the head of the household, or for, in this case, their Lord and Savior, the Lord to wash their feet, this is like totally table upside down, and it was mind-boggling. And I'm not saying I was putting up a, you know, a tantrum. You're like, no way, you know. But it was more like, Lord, I want to wash your feet. And then he said something to me. He said, if you do not learn the difference when I wash your feet and when you wash mine, you will never come into your destiny. And I'm like going, what? My ability to receive relates to my destiny? He knows, by the way, my language. Destiny is like, your purpose and your destiny is like, that's my passion. That's what I talk a lot, teach a lot, I study about. I just love people coming into their full measure, right? And so the Lord's saying, if you can receive my love, then you can come into your purpose and your destiny. And I never connected the two. And he said, so I want you to know the difference of the times when I come to serve you, when you need to be ministered to, when you need to receive, when you need to get an infusion. Your inner life is really important to him. Everybody that wants to make a huge difference in the world and transform it, you don't understand that transformation begins with an inner life. That's why in Luke 7:21 it says that the kingdom of heaven is within. In other words, if you're not literally just totally overwhelmed and possessed by his love, it's going to be harder for you to be the love to others. But if you receive the love of the Father on a regular basis, you can look at anyone, and it's so easy to look at them, and you can begin to feel the Father's love. And there she is, the daughter. The one who serves others. The woman of action. Everything's with deeds first, right? It's not just words, it's got to be deed. Is that kind of one of your life things? Yeah, that's what I heard. People speak by what they do, right? He loves that about you. It's pretty easy. I can just look at you, start feeling his mush. She's going, uh-oh. Why? Because I just know what it feels like to be in his gaze. And I know what it's like to look at you with my natural eyes or with his gaze. But since it's such a way of life with him, to receive it, to give it to you, is just like it's like overflow. It's leftover prime rib, pretty much. It's there. I don't have to try to bring it. He brought it. I don't have to try to love anyone. Because the first commandment is love him, and then second is love your neighbors yourself, right? But that's the hard part. It's all in the first commandment. All of it. Second commandment just flows right out of the first one. So he's washing my feet. I'm not going to tell the whole story, but it was wonderful. It kind of morphed into the whole prodigal son thing, because I was getting some, they weren't ram slippers, but they were shoes and, like, you know, some on my feet, and I got a ring, and, you know, it was the whole thing kind of morphed into that. It was very powerful for me. I'm weeping. I'm feeling his love. And so, by the way, this isn't something I just, you know, that was the theme of the year or that month. You know, this morning I woke up and I did this. I'll just say, Lord, I choose to receive your love today. What are you doing? What do you want to release into me today? Right? And he's always very specific. And then I'll just say, okay, bring it. In other words, say, okay, bring it. I'm ready. I'm a vessel. Because Romans 5:5 says the love of God is poured into your hearts through the Holy Spirit. It's poured into your hearts. Right? I mean, what would you do if like money was just flowing right now from, you know, the top? I mean, I think all of us would be very creative to find instruments to collect money. Okay, trash cans, barrels. We got a few candles. Those candles would be gone. The flowers would be gone. The container, you know. So you become this container that learns how to receive the love of God. And how good are you? I wish I could tell you how to measure it, but I think you know it if you feel like a lot of His love. And how would you practice that? Well, Anne was telling you today. You find your techniques. Mine is I just choose to receive it, and it tells me I'm filling you with my peace, my love. I go, okay, and I just start to feel it. I just begin to experience it. Sometimes I see pictures, but I know that something is being happening. It's a deposit, and I know that I'm going to receive it. And it's like this is like and it's like any exercise you do, you get better and better and better at it. I don't need as much warm up time, right? That's what she was saying. I don't need to kind of go through all the things, so I kind of get to the place. So it's where you just kind of do it. And so I actually started pastoring that way. We'd bring, you know, we used to when someone would come to Christ and we'd say, well, here's a Bible and read the book of John. Go get overwhelmed by the deepest theological book of the Gospels, you know. But I started saying, would you just really work on receiving God's love? And we have some classes where you can hear His voice and learn how to hear Him tell how much He loves you. And if you get that down, we can kind of move on. Well, I don't know if it was a couple months later. I was up at went on a mountain retreat. I'm going to do this in a couple weeks. I just go for like 2 nights, 3 days, and I just spend time with God. Usually the first day I sleep a little bit. I used to feel guilty at first. And I'd say, Lord, I'm so sorry I fell asleep. I came here to be with you. And He says, but you are tired. So He says, why don't you plan on the first day coming and sleeping? We'll just hang out while you sleep because you're tired, you know. Oh, what a revelation. Did you know how many of you here are really tired? You're too tired to have your breakthrough. I mean, sorry, you're having your breakthrough, but I would encourage you learning how to rest in His presence. Okay. And I have, man, I'll tell you, but in this time, I was just feeling His love, and suddenly I said, Lord, can I wash your feet? I don't know what I was thinking. You know, like I was going to get the water basin or something. I don't know. It was a concept, right? Like, Lord, I was so blessed by when you washed my feet. Can I wash yours? And He says, you want to wash my feet? Like, He's getting excited. Like, I don't know what this looks like. He says, you really want to wash my feet? I go, yeah, this is cool. I'm going to wash your feet, Lord. So I'm imagining, you know, what this would look like. And He said, all right, because I was at this Christian camp. He said, there's a caretaker, and I knew that. I talked to her, to the woman and to the husband that they oversaw the whole camp. And He said, I'd like you to go over and wash the woman's feet. Lord, I've never met her. I mean, I'm starting to imagine, what do I do, show up at her door, and you just knock on the door. Hi, I'm Mark praying over there, and I'm here to wash your feet. I mean, what does this look like? I mean, and I said it again, Lord, okay, you really want me to go wash your feet? Yeah. No, you're going to wash my feet. But you're going to do over there. So I knock on the door. I'll never forget this. Because I knew she was married. I knew they were caretakers of him. She answers the door. The first thing that comes out is your husband home? I'm figuring, you know, if he walked in and I'm foot washing, he would want to kind of, you know. She said, well, he's in the office, but let me go check. And she goes, I'm sorry, he can't come out. But he said, if you had a concern or something, you could come in and talk with me. So, yeah, and I'm trying to, like, segue into this. Like, you know, oh, what nice shoes you have. I don't know. You know, it's like, I'm like, there's no segue line, okay? And finally, I could just tell that by this time, I am just feeling the love of the Lord toward her, but I'm also feeling just the immense depression and heaviness and despair that is on this woman. Like it's just dripping off her. And I said, I'm here because I was part of our Baptist denomination camp, and I said, I'm over there having a prayer retreat, and God loves you so much, He put you on my heart. That's why I really came. And I said, and as we're sitting here talking, I can feel you've been going through a lot. She goes, yeah. Doesn't give me anything. She goes, yeah. It's been really, yeah. And I said, and he told me he just wants to show you how much he loves you, and he won't. And it's just like how Jesus did it with his disciples. He wants me to wash your feet. And she looks at me and she goes, I think I know what you're saying. I think you're saying that you want to wash my feet here, now. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Now, if you're uncomfortable with that, I kind of went through a little bit of the wimp zone. But if you want a way out. No, it's more like if I want a way out. No, I'm kidding. But it's like, so I said to her, I said, well, I would like to do that, but I would like to represent Jesus washing your feet. And so I'd like you to close your eyes, and I'd just like you to get, if you could, just anything you have that contains water, just, even a bowl or anything and some towels, just come in. And she's like, okay, whatever, dude. I guess we can wash my feet. You know what happened? I started washing her feet, and the Lord came. We both, within 20 seconds, were both of us crying uncontrollably. Both of us, crying uncontrollably. And I just started speaking. I'm strengthening you now. I'm cleansing you now. I'm healing you now. I'm giving you a new life. Be careful, there's some smaller kids here. She says, do you know anything about me? Anything about my story? I said, no. I'm sorry, I just know you're the caretakers. She said, six months ago, I was kidnapped by two men. Like I said, children here. I don't need to go into detail. I was left for 2 days, found, beaten, totally defiled, dying. She goes, I haven't wanted to live. She goes, I want to live now. I tell you, I'm just weeping. She goes, I want to live now. I want to live now. I want to let you know, if you learn the difference when you wash his feet and when he washes your feet, you'll come into your destiny. I had other times. I went to India. It was my first day in India. I landed in Mumbai. Everybody says, you know, oh, India's hard, you know, it's dark, it's a lot of people, smells, all this stuff. I get to India, and the first night, early in the morning, I wake up, jet lag, that kind of thing. So I go down to see if there's coffee. I had left the room. I had the room key. That's it. You know, I didn't have my wallet, didn't have phone, anything. Just on a hunt for caffeine, as dark and strong as possible, okay, pretty much at this point. And it's not open. There's nothing there. I just step outside just to get some air, maybe just take a walk. I don't want to wake up Anne. You heard that earlier. We try to be sensitive that way. And so I walk out the gate, and the first thing is about 8 beggars rush me. And they want, of course, they're waiting for Westerners who are going to go to the airport, so they've learned to be there really early. And I pulled out the rabbit ears. You know, I don't have any money. I don't have anything with me. Got a hotel key. And so all of the beggars left, except there's one woman. And she's holding a small child, a child old enough to probably walk, but still she has him wrapped in a small cloth and small blanket or whatever. And just maybe for comfort, really wasn't that cold, but she's holding this child. And I'm walking now away from the beggars, and she doesn't leave. I'm like going, okay, I don't have anything. I'm really sorry. And then start walking, and she continues with me. So now, you know, I spoke smile. I didn't speak any Hindi, but I speak smile and, you know, and pat her on the head, you know, just to bless her, or I don't know what to do. But now she wants to walk with me. I touch the baby, you know, just being as friendly as I can, and I keep walking. There is a little humor to this because in Indian culture, really, holy cow, they mean that. They don't kill the cows because they let them roam freely in the cities in different times. And I was wearing sandals, and where you have cows, you have cow pie. Would that be an accurate description? Okay. What do they call it?
Manure.
Poop, you know. Manure, okay. It's officially manure if it's a cow. All right. It's a very important statistical thing we have to get here, you know. What exactly is that? Okay, so anyway. But anyways, my foot didn't really care what it was or know what it was, but I wasn't thinking about it. I wasn't like, watch out for big cow pies. So all of a sudden I go, and I hear it, you know, and I look down, and my foot is covered in this poop. And suddenly that woman puts down her child, and she's washing my foot. I knew right away what was happening. Jesus is washing my feet. I knew it right away. I didn't see the woman. I closed my eyes, and I immediately knew that Jesus was telling me how much he loves me, and that he brought me, and he's going to anoint my footsteps. I felt this love for the Indian people, like come on me, like it was so intense. I made a 10-year commitment right then to serve and love and wash the feet of Jesus in India. That's how intense it was. In fact, I knew, and by the way, I'm not, when you hear me say these statements, I'm not trying to be like, wow, that's, you know, really bold or really, but this is how my relationship with the Lord, it changes and changes. I knew then that I was going to be a part of actually bringing an amazing prophetic love move to the nation of India. Okay? I think, because that's how my father thinks. I take people like you, by the way, to train thousands, and I've done that, thousands and thousands of pastors. We now have over 25,000 pastors in just northern India alone. And we have we were a prophetic movement. We are a prophetic movement now. But it didn't start with prophetic meetings. It started for me when Jesus was washing my feet. I knew it. I didn't know it at the time it was going to be that amazing. But I knew that I knew that something was happening. In fact, that day, I actually went and got a massage too, and they said, what kind do you want? And I want old-fashioned Indian style. And I got an old man, about 65 years, and he took hot oil. And I was being anointed for the nation of India. That was my first day in India. I'm getting my feet washed, and I'm getting anointed with hot oil. You know, there was a couple that came to our hotel. They wanted prophetic words. We gave them to them. They said, can we bring our family? And I didn't know how many people the family was. It was really quite a large family, and the family's family. And we were prophesying over all these people. And by the way, the story has a longer time to progress than that, but I'm just taking it there. That couple asked us, once they trusted us, they saw the love of Jesus in us, they said, we have one of the largest private school systems in India. In Mumbai alone, just in this area, we have 700 teachers. 10 are Christians. And I want you to minister to all 700. I walked in, I said, Lord, how do I minister to Hindu teachers? He goes, love them. That's what he said. Love them. Called all those that had back pain for over 7 years forward. There were about 10 of them. Every one of them got healed. In a matter of 2 days, nearly 700 teachers came to Christ. The next day, they started classrooms, a classroom. They turned it into a prayer center. I mean, they went from a Hindu school to a Christian school in a day. Wow. Surely I learned how to get my feet washed. That's why I like pedicures now. Just remind me of that too. Go with my daughters or friends or go get a pedi. Reminds me every time. Anytime someone washes my feet, I know who it is. The Lord's washing my feet. The Lord likes others to pay for my pedicures for that reason. I'm serious. People like to bless me with a pedicure. It's always Jesus washing my feet. I know I joke, have fun, but I'll tell you what. I feel so honored that he wants to wash my feet. I feel loved. And I want to wash his feet. But the one thing I'm not going to debate, I'm not going to debate whether he loves me or not. I'm not going to struggle with it. I'm not going to fight about it. I'm not going to wrestle with it. I'm going to believe it. In fact, not only am I going to believe it, I'm going to wallow in it. I'm going to marinate in it. I'm going to soak in it, bake in it, shake in it. I'm going to do everything I can to get so pickled in his love. I want to be a love ball. I want to be so filled with his love that it's just like, you know, it's just so amazing. Anybody? Do you want it? I mean, do you really want it? Because, I mean, there's going to be some hard choices if you want it. You're going to actually really have to forgive yourself. You're going to actually really not want to punish yourself even though you deserve it. You're going to have to choose that he loves you no matter what you've done. That he's not measuring you the way you measure yourself. He's not judging you. He'll convict you. By the way, Holy Spirit's not unemployed.
but usually we beat the Holy Spirit to it, and then we go through our guilt offering rituals before we even get a chance to get convicted. You know, when the Lord was really pouring his love into me, he just told me, stop confessing sin until I convict you. Then I'd find myself, he hadn't convicted me. I'd be like, please convict me. I know I deserve it. And he said, you can't understand conviction until you understand my love, because my conviction is always to heal, restore, renew, and love you. But if you interpret it through your religion and the knowledge of good and evil, you'll distort even my conviction. And let's go deeper. If you feel abandoned, it's real. And that's why his love, it drives it out. You feel unworthy? It drives it out. You feel imperfect? It drives it out. The more I receive his love, I don't have room for any of that. I'm not good at guilt anymore. Talk to my wife. It's very hard to guilt me. It's very hard to manipulate me through guilt of any kind, because it never worked. All the ways that I tried to change myself and beat myself up, it never worked. It still doesn't work. The only thing that works is to be enveloped by the love of God. And then Jesus said, if you love me, you obey my commandments. Obedience comes out of a love. It's fun to obey. It's freeing to obey. In fact, I have the power to obey. Because I love. Paul said that I want to know. He talked about, I want to know the love of God and the all-surpassing power of the resurrection. I'd like to challenge you tonight to make a, if this isn't you, and I'm not, you have strengths I don't have, okay? So I want to learn from yours. But the strength that I want to give you tonight is there has to be a shift in your ability to receive his love. And it's a choice. What do you mean it's a choice? Every day, it's a choice. You say, Lord, I choose to receive your love. I ask you when you come to teach me. And by the way, I do confess sin. I'm not teaching that. I'm not teaching we don't confess sin. I do. But I always, repentance means to see it from God's perspective and heart. It really means a change of mind is what the Greek word for repent means. It's changing my mind that I'm understanding that anything that I do that's sinful is stealing the ability to walk in his love. And that's the reason why the enemy does it. That's why in Romans 8 it says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's why it continues later in the chapter, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Except you and your efforts to participate out of it. Are you hearing my heart tonight? Do you want to change the world? Great. Let him wash your feet. That's why I get to go wherever he sends me. I can go to the poorest of the nations. I can sleep on the ground. I did that in Mozambique. 2 weeks later, I can be in a 5-star hotel in Korea. It doesn't matter. I can love his people wherever he calls us to love them. By the way, you guys got a good thing going here. you got like a little love culture, a little love party waiting to break out. Okay? Spa day, remember I told you, love spa party. We're going in. We're going to sit here and poof. And I literally do that. Like I'll go into a pool of water and I'll just say, Lord, here I am. Which pool am I in? Which pool? You know, spend time in that pool of love. Ooh. Right there. Get that chukuski right there. Oh, that's perfect, Lord. No, I'm kidding. So, Lord, just receiving it. Sometimes I go in the pool of refreshment, one that washes off disappointment, one that washes off fear of man. See, that's how I experience this love. Just ask him, what do I need? And I want to bless you with that. Can I pray for you right now? Okay, put down your stuff. Just for a minute. Do you mind if Ann plays? Is that live? Ann, can you go up there? I love your piano player. Please, I just want Ann to do her thing. Just love it when Ann. By the way, she does this all the time at home. This is a way of life. We're just gonna kind of. I know you can pray with your eyes open, but I want to encourage you to get comfortable. It's not going to last a long time, but you can stay seated. You can stand, whatever you feel like you want to do. Just get in receiving position. And just tell the Lord, Lord, you said if I come to you, who those who are heavy burdened, and you'll give rest. Tonight, I want to come. I need you. I'm so desperate for a touch. And I want to learn how to be touched. I want to learn how to receive. I want to learn to remove every barrier. I don't want to just try anymore. I want to receive. I want to just really know what that means. I want my heart to be healed. I want to let go of that disappointment, Lord. I don't want to have a sense of failure anymore or that I fell short. I just want to be held and loved, known and understood and embraced and affirmed and accepted. I just want more of you, Lord. I want to be one with you. I really want you to be the most important thing in my life. I don't want it to be just something I say. I don't want to strive anymore. I don't want to compare anymore. I just don't want to feel bad anymore. And Jesus even said, come, learn from me, for my heart is humble and gentle. It's gentle. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. I want to take it. I want it all. I really want it all this time. I want it for the rest of your life. I want to be the one who carries you. I want to be your strength. I want to be your peace. I want to be enough. I died that you might have life and have it abundantly. I did not come to condemn the world. I didn't come to condemn you, but to save you. And even now, just as you let go, the Lord says, oh, I want to pour my love into your heart. I want to soothe. I want to cleanse. Some of you might see, you might ask him, Lord, can I see you? You might even say boldly, could you wash my feet? He says, I wanted you. You weren't an unwanted child. I wanted you. He said, you do belong. Because you belong to me. And he comes. He has this very interesting garland in his hand. It's white. It's beautiful. He's putting it on your head. Puts it down like a small crown. Beautiful. Sorry, men. You can get into this. It's okay. Because he's putting you into peace of mind. He's putting this symbol on your head that your mind belongs to me. And I'm filling your mind. I'm stealing every excuse from the enemy that he tried to give you. I'm taking away, actually, every lie of the enemy that wanted you to make you feel unloved. I'm taking your mind back. You gave me your heart and you gave me my your mind, and they belong to me. And I take this lordship, ownership, seriously, and I want you to know that your mind and heart belong to me. And I know you've known this before, but from this day forward, I want you to know that you are mine, and I am yours, and you are an object of my love. And it sounds like this. Whatever you call him, Daddy, Father, Papa, God. I choose to receive your love today. From this day on, I'd ask that you teach me, remind me, lead me to this place. And I do want to wash your feet. You know. And he goes, I know you do. And I love that about you. But it's time to receive. Paul prayed this way. I pray that you might have a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know him better. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be open. And he says three things, but one of them is so that you'll know the all-surpassing love. Another one is the power, and another one is your riches and inheritance. But he wants you to know his love. Tell the Lord, I want to get really good at this. I want to know how to receive from you so well that I overflow supernaturally, naturally, supernaturally. And I see the Lord just pouring, pouring this like fresh oil on your heads, and he's just saying, just dripping down into your heart. You might go home tonight. I feel like your imagination is important. Go home tonight and say, Lord, would you wash my feet? Or whatever you want him to do. I want to give glory to God for every testimony tonight. I want to give honor to Jesus, that he's the author and perfecter of my faith. I want to declare that no word from my testimony gives me glory or points to me. That every word would point to Jesus. I would lift his name so that every person here would be drawn to him. I don't believe I'm more spiritual. I don't believe I'm more important. I don't believe I'm more anointed. I believe that I'm your brother and I'm a son. And Jesus said that anyone who believes in me will do the works I've been doing, yes, even greater. But he also said that he and the Father were one, and that if you are one with him, you're one with the Father. And as a symbol, I ask the Lord that tonight, as you step into new love, I loosen a healing into your body. That some symptom of pain would leave your body right now in the name of Jesus as a testimony to the power of the Word. I'll actually often ask the Lord, what's that pain about? Why do I have that pain? Or what's that pain saying? It's very interesting. It's a whole other teaching. He'll heal you mind, body, and spirit as you bring your body, your mind, your heart into the communion of love. I hear the Lord saying, I baptize you in my love tonight in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Your arm? Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Give God glory. Anybody else? Anybody else? Check stuff out. Try to hurt it. No, I'm kidding. Check it out. Anybody else? Lord, we just pray. Pain. Pain in the necks. I was really drawn to wrists. Really drawn to wrists right now. Well, it's gotten late. We got to get up tomorrow. I do a lot of corporate ministry like this. Because everybody gets to participate in it. So that's kind of my ministry time is a little different, but I like to touch everybody in the ministry time. And it's a prophetic declaration. Honor to be with you tonight. How many are going to be here tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll just continue and we'll be blessed and honored. Do you have anything else to say? Or you could just stay there and get drunker down there. Just go ahead. So we're gonna. It's a different way to finish. I just feel like
I'm going to go actually buy the books. I don't always do that. I think it's fun, though. I'll meet some of you that way. You can say hi. If you're not getting a book, come and say hi anyway if you want, okay? We'll just be back there. Hannah and I will just say hi to some of you. We could sign some or whatever. Don't have a lot, but because I know a lot of you have them. But okay. If they say Zach. All right. How about if they say Zach said I could get a gift card to Starbucks or something? Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Do you feel loved? Amen. You feel encouraged? You could pray with each other too. You know, you're the prayer team. You're the power team right there, sitting right next to you. And God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless. Well, I went late. This is why I'm doing this. I know you have young ones and you need to get home. So I need to honor it. All right. Bless you.